And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. I hope you're enjoying this day. I know the news is ugly, but I hope you're having a good time and enjoying the day and just keeping your mind on Jesus. You know, the Word of God says in Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. And so we just have to find our peace in the Lord. You know, there's an old song that says, this peace I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. And I hope that's the way you feel, folks, because otherwise this stuff will drive you crazy. I mean, it really will. It will drive you nuts. Now, we don't know anything about this San Jose shooting other than it's a male who did it, and he's apparently dead, but we don't know anything else right now. So there's really nothing else we can really say about it except our prayers go out to the families of those who have lost loved ones in this tragic situation and those who are injured. Goes out in their behalf, and we'll wait to get further news on that. I was talking to someone about this whole issue of gun control because we know that that will come up. I heard the mayor say, we're going to announce what we're going to do to prevent this from ever happening again. And somebody was saying to me, the only thing these politicians ever know to bring up is gun control. And I said, and look, that's not the answer because criminals simply don't care. Folks, they don't care about gun control. They don't care about laws. That's why they're criminals. It's only the law-abiding citizen who is hampered and inhibited and prohibited and restricted and regulated from being able to exercise their Second Amendment rights, being able to keep and bear arms to protect themselves and their families. When I was out in Granville, Michigan with the Vanderklok family and Pastor Dwayne out there and his wife Jean, they told me that their six-year-old grandson bagged his first deer. 6 years old. Under supervision, of course, using a firearm. Folks, that firearm is never going to do anything to harm anyone. I shared with you all, I'm a gun owner myself. My guns have never harmed anyone, and I trust they never will have to be used to harm anyone because that means that no one ever encroaches upon my private property to do harm to me or to my wife or to anyone that I feel I have an obligation or a responsibility to protect. But in the hands of a monster, it doesn't really matter whether it's a gun, a machete, a car, a rock, I mean, whatever, poison, people whose hearts are twisted and wicked are going to do bad things. And what we've really got to do is get to the root of the problem. And the root of the problem is the wickedness of the human heart, not the instrument, but the heart that wields the instrument. So just get ready for it because, you know, we're going to hear another spate of, you know, we've got to have gun control and we've got to ban, quote unquote, assault weapons and we've got to limit magazines and all of this. The last time I bought a Glock, they apparently are being manufactured, I guess, in California, or maybe, I mean, Glock is a German company, obviously, but I'm not sure why it works this way, but the Glock came with magazines that were limited by California rules, and I think the California rules limit the magazine to 10 rounds. Now, a Glock, in this case, I bought a Glock 17. A Glock 17 holds, I think, 17 rounds with one of the chambers. So I think it's a total of 18 rounds. But California has limited the magazine to 10 rounds and requires that Glock make 10-round magazines. And here again, the utter silliness of this, the utter silliness of it, because anybody who is proficient with a firearm can switch out a magazine in a second. I mean, literally, folks, in a second. And I'm sure some of you who know firearms know that. You know, you drop one mag, you shoot another one in there. If you're practiced at it, that takes absolutely no time. But for somebody who's just enjoying themselves, now they've got to load more than one magazine, and they've got to keep loading. It's just for nothing in order to accommodate the some mythological idea that some criminal somehow is going to be stopped because he's only got 10 rounds in a magazine instead of 18 rounds. This is the magical thinking of these people. And all it serves to do is inconvenience law-abiding citizens. In fact, the last time we ended up in a discussion about firearms, my producer, because somebody talked about a 100-round drum, and I said, wow, I've never seen one, never even heard of one. I mean, I'm sure they, I know in military situations they might have them, but I've never seen one in civilian life, seen one at a gun store or anything like that. But he said, oh, yeah, you can get them. And, of course, my immediate thought was, ooh, boy, I'd like to have one of those. You know, man, that's got to be fun. And it's not, again, my thought wasn't, oh, I can hurt people with that. Of course not. I mean, my goodness. But this is the way the left thinks. This is the way they think. It's people are just wonderful, and if you just create a system in which they are molded and shaped into, I guess, some kind of automatons, then they won't do anything wrong. So you take away the gun and you take away the murder in a person's heart. It doesn't work that way. The murder in a person's heart is going to find a way to commit the murder. It's not the gun. It's the heart that is creating the problem. At any rate, I didn't mean to get off into all of that, but I know what's coming as a result of the San Diego shooting. We just might as well just get ready for it because, you know, that's all they know. That's the visceral gut reaction that they have anytime there is one of these incidents. And you know the other sad thing about this, California is one of the most regulated states in the country with regard to firearms. And once again, apparently there was absolutely no one there in that situation. Now, we may find out differently, but as far as I know, there was no one in that situation who had the ability to respond to that person who was wielding a gun for the purpose of killing people. So in other words, law-abiding citizens are disarmed. Criminals have plenty of firepower, and you are just like sitting ducks. And here again, I don't know when the left is going to learn that lesson. We've got over 300 million firearms in the United States of America, and they're not going to get them. They're not going to even get a small percentage of them because people aren't going to cooperate with surrendering their firearms. Not as long as there's a Second Amendment in place. So what we need to do is get back to what we used to do, which is focus on the heart. Oh, no, we don't want the Ten Commandments up. That's dangerous. We need gun control. That's what we need, not the Ten Commandments. Well, how about thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not kill? Oh, no, you can't say that. That's unconstitutional. Well, okay, but this is what you get. All right, well, look, violent crime is skyrocketing all over the country. Yesterday, they celebrated George Floyd's one-year anniversary of his death. You know, the new civil rights icon now, George Floyd, who the president says had done more. He did more than Martin Luther King. Oh, brother. Portsmouth is erupting in violence. So I say, you know persons by their fruit. You also know a movement by its fruit. And what this whole George Floyd movement is producing is more violence and murder. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
You know, the three branches of our constitutional government are the executive, legislative, and judicial. Over the years, you may have written these names on a school test. You may have even shouted them out as answers in a trivia game. But the three branches of government are much more than just a school lesson or a trivia game answer. They're a big reason our freedoms have been protected so well for nearly 250 years. We enjoy such liberty and government continuity because the framers of our Constitution had a belief about human nature that comes from the Bible. While there are good aspects of human nature, there's also great potential for evil because of sin. That's why the framers knew that it would be a very bad idea to concentrate all government power in the hands of just a few people. The three separate branches of government check each other's power, but people in government can still be guilty of overreach. Right now, for example, certain members of Congress are considering measures that would greatly decrease accountability in government. Two of the main ways they are attempting to accomplish this power consolidation are court packing and ending the filibuster. James Madison, at one point, predicted that the legislative branch of the government would be the greatest threat to the separation of powers. Thankfully, we do have another check on government power in the United States, and that is us. Through elections, local government, the rights listed in the First Amendment of the Constitution, and more, U.S. citizens have the ability to hold government accountable when it goes too far. And you can actually find out more about this by visiting pointofview.net. That's why I do these daily commentaries. I want you to stay informed about the issues of the day and get involved in opposing government overreach. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my Point of View.
Go deeper on topics like you just heard by visiting pointofview.net. That's pointofview.net.
Angela just turned 14 when two high school seniors assaulted her. This is Jim Garlow. Several months later, Angela learned she was pregnant. She decided to place the baby for adoption. Her pregnancy was difficult, and she spent several months flat on her back in the hospital alone, many miles from her hometown. When the baby was born, my late wife Carol and I adopted this precious baby girl. Angela is our hero, and we praise God for her. Because of her courage, we have an amazing daughter today. It reminds me of Genesis 15:20, which says what the enemy meant for evil, God has turned to good. Every life, no matter the circumstances, is precious to Him. So as Christ followers, we must pray and defend those who cannot defend themselves. We must once again become a nation that truly values the sanctity of human life. There's more at wellversedworld.org.
Brian Fisher here. Texas Governor Greg Abbott will defund cities that defund the police. A Democrat elections official in Arizona recommends they replace all their Dominion machines. A growing movement to allow sections of blue states to break away and join red ones. And the female leader of BLM is shot by four black men in London. All that and more next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Well, there's to switch subjects here now, there's quite a bit of controversy that's been stirred up by John Cena for apologizing to China. And by the way, he apologized in Mandarin. Wow, he must have spent some time. Either he already knows how to speak Mandarin, he spent some time learning Mandarin because it sounded like he actually could speak the language. But he apologized because he offhandedly referred to Taiwan as a country. And in doing so, he angered the Communist Party of China because, of course, they claim that Taiwan is part of China. And right now, there's some concern that at any moment, China could actually sweep in and take Taiwan by force. I don't know what they might do, folks. And I don't think there's any reason to believe that given the right circumstances, they would restrain themselves. But that aside. He's gotten a lot of criticism for apologizing to China for having acknowledged Taiwan, even offhandedly. I don't think he intended to do it. And apparently he said, I'm sorry. China's a great country. I love China, blah, 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 blah. Look, we've discussed this on this program before, and I do want to get into it a little bit today as well. Has our country simply been sold to China? Do we really already belong to them, lock, stock, and barrel? We just don't know it. I mean, I think in some ways, that seems to be what's going on. You know, the market for American movies now, of course, China is deeply involved in producing American movies as well. You can tell that anytime you look at a movie, you'll see Chinese characters. Mandarin Chinese writing in the credits. It's in almost all of them now, because China has really bought into Hollywood. I think they're buying into our media in general. You all know they own Forbes magazine. China owns Forbes magazine, yes. And they apparently own John Cena. The deal that he has with China was worth hundreds of millions of dollars, and he was not about to let that go down. Now, my first thought was, don't you have a contract with them? And doesn't that contract protect you? But who knows? That may be a contract that says, you say anything against China, and we can cancel your contract, and we get to determine what is said, and whether, that is, we get to determine whether something you said is against China or not. We get to determine that. You don't get to determine that. We will say that. And acknowledging Taiwan, as far as we're concerned, is against China, and therefore you could lose the whole contract. We could take it away from you. I don't know that that's what's in the contract, but if the contract is ironclad, why are you apologizing? You've got a business arrangement with them. They don't own you politically. You've got a business arrangement with them. So all of this stuff is very fishy. You know, I've said before, we need to have a national security audit, a national security audit of every business in America that is doing commerce with Communist China. We need to know just what their arrangements are. We need to know, do you have to have people working for you from? Do you need to have consultants from China? What is China asking of you as part of your business arrangement? We need to know to what extent our national security is being compromised by people who are doing business with this country. Because the Communist Party of China is an evil, wicked, twisted, murderous regime, period. Now, you won't hear politicians say that because they feel they can't, but they know it's true. I mean, we all know that they're killing the Uyghurs. We know that they've been arresting and imprisoning and torturing and killing Christians for as long as the regime has been in effect. We all know that, but you can't say that, you see. You can't say that. That's not diplomatic. That's what they told Ronald Reagan when he called communist Soviet Union an evil empire. Oh, you can't say that, Mr. President. You can't say that. Well, he said it. I can hear Ronald Reagan say, well, I said it. Folks, the truth has no power if you're not willing to speak it. Now, here's the thing that bothers me about people like him. Now, he hasn't been going around lecturing people about justice and all of that, like LeBron James has done. So LeBron James lectures America about our racism and lectures America about our injustice. And I just can't take it anymore. And then he sides with Communist China, perhaps the most brutal regime on the face of the earth today. He sides with them and defends them and tells people criticizing them, oh, you can't say anything with you don't know what you're talking about. Well, LeBron James says things when he doesn't know what he's talking about all the time about America. But he defends China. So to some extent, you have to question these people's loyalty to our country. Because, look, it is not just that they're communists. That's enough. But it's not just that. Folks, it is that they unleashed upon the world a pandemic that has killed millions of people. Millions of people. We need to have a long talk with Dr. Fauci because apparently they did this with some American funding. You know, always happy to participate in our own suicide. Yeah. he needs to go. I think there's a move in Congress right now to get him fired. He really just needs to go. He needs to go. The man doesn't have the sense God gave a gnat. He may be a good doctor, I don't know. But he is certainly not a good leader of the CDC or what is he heading up? I think the National Institutes of Health, whatever it is. He's certainly, we don't need him as a medical leader in America. Because half the time he's talking out of the side of his mouth, he doesn't know what he's talking about. And he's flip-flopping from day to day. But all that aside, it is clear that this disease, this communist Chinese Wuhan virus they call COVID-19, that it came from the city of Wuhan. There's still some dispute about whether it came from the lab. I don't think there is. I think that issue is settled. It came from that lab. I don't think that some bat from somewhere happened to fly within 300 yards of the Wuhan laboratory and unleash the virus, and he just happened to be in the neighborhood. I mean, come on. It came from that laboratory. We now know that three scientists got sick in 2019 in that laboratory, just before the thing broke worldwide. Three scientists were sick who worked in that laboratory. All this information is now starting to leak out. And, you know, even our own intelligence agency early on, I don't know what position they're taking now, but early on they were kind of defending it, saying, oh, no, it didn't come from the lab and it wasn't intentional and all that. You know, folks, I have to say, after having John Brennan as head of the CIA, who was, and to my knowledge, has never renounced his communist ties, that he is a communist, that he voted. My understanding is he not only voted for Gus Hall for president, he voted for Angela Davis. So I have to say, I'm wondering now, to what extent have our intelligence agencies become infiltrated? I mean, I don't like saying that. I don't even like the way it sounds, but you got to raise the question. I mean, we see how they treated President Trump. And if you're making excuses for and covering for communist China, or at least it appears that way, something is very seriously wrong. You know, it may be, I've raised the same question with the FBI which I've always admired. I mean, I wasn't a big fan of Herbert Hoover, obviously, but I've always admired the FBI. I thought they were a highly professional agency, doing good law enforcement work, often putting their lives on the line, trying to deal with bank robbers and kidnappers and all of that. But in these recent years, I tell you, my confidence has been shaken. I hope that the agency is not corrupt, but when you go into Roger Stone's home to arrest him like you're going in to get Osama bin Laden, when you show up at Rudy Giuliani's home, what is it, I think 5 or 6 a.m., to collect stuff that he was perfectly willing to give you voluntarily, and that these kinds of scenarios, when you're plotting to overthrow the president of the United States, and here again, I'm not saying rank and file FBI agents were involved in that, but when you are doing that, when your top officials are doing that, they ought to me, there ought to be a rebellion in the rank and file to say, if our leaders are up to that, we're not following them. We need new leadership. And when you hear Christopher Wray constantly saying that the problem in America is not the left, after we've had 500 riots in 220 locations, we've had police stations attacked, we've had federal buildings attacked, we've had property destroyed, we've had looting, we've had murders. And he says, oh, no, they're not the problem. White supremacists are the problem. You have to wonder, have these agencies been wholly compromised by the Marxist elements in our culture and politics? Stand by. We'll be back in a moment and start taking your calls.
It's my turn. Here is your host for My Turn, Don Weilman.
Recently, I ran across a story about a family that was eating dinner when the youngest member, a four-year-old, stood up in his chair and blurted out, "Pass the butter!" Well, that mother decided that she would have none of that. She turned to the child, spoke sharply, "You cannot have any dinner. We don't act like that around this house. You will ask for the butter politely or you will not have any butter at all. Anyone who acts like that doesn't deserve any dinner. Go to your room immediately." The little boy started to say something, but the mother broke in. "No buts about it. Go to your room at once." Well, most of us would agree that the child needed some discipline. No child should be allowed to stand up at the dinner table and shout like that. Children must learn to ask politely and take their turns. After supper, the father gathered the family together and told them he had a surprise for them. "I had the tape recorder on during the meal," he said, "and I want to play it back and let's have some fun. Let's just hear what we sound like while we're eating." Well, the family all gathered around and listened to the recording. Supper began on a quiet note. But before long, the group had gotten rather noisy. There was a lot of talking, loud talking, and laughing. Then, as the mother listened rather closely, she thought she heard something. "Go back and play that part again," she told her husband. Well, he rewound the tape and played the part she wanted to hear again. And sure enough, it was there. A very soft little voice could barely be heard beneath the noise and laughter. It spoke. "Would someone please pass the butter?" The recorder continued on, and for a while, all anyone could hear was the noise and the laughter. Then, just a little louder than before, the voice came again. "Would someone please pass the butter?" But the noise and laughter continued. The little voice got no reply. Then it happened. The voice boomed out, "Pass the butter!" And then the voice telling him to go to his room without any supper. The mother sent for the little boy, apologized to him, and gave him his supper. I'm afraid there are several people like that today, people who have tried to be heard in a nice way, only to have doors closed in their faces and ears that would not hear. If we would have listened to the pleading of the black man years ago, perhaps our problems in race relations wouldn't be as great today. And if we had listened to the pleas of the common man, perhaps the unions would be controlled by a different breed of people today. But we were too busy with our own chatter. One of the greatest traits one can learn is to listen. You see, when we listen, it shows that we care. And after all, that's what most people want. Someone to care.
This has been My Turn with Don Weilman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
We're back. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. So what is your reflection on all of this stuff that with the, here again, they want to celebrate George Floyd, but the whole thing is marked by violence. They had a shootout in what they are now calling George Floyd Square. Two people shot yesterday. We've got, and by the way, folks, oh my goodness gracious, we've got three children just in the last several weeks killed in Minneapolis. Here again, the place that's calling for the end of the abolition of police, defund the police. On May 19th, Anaya Allen was shot, 6 years old, shot. She's fighting for her life in critical condition right now. On May 15th, 9-year-old Trinity Addison Smith, shot, fighting for her life right now. And on April 30th, I think it's LaDion Garrett Jr. LaDion Garrett Jr., 10 years old, shot, unfortunately. Well, let's see. Two of these children are still alive. One of them is dead. It's not LaDion. He's in a coma. Addison Smith, I think, fighting for Trinity. Yeah, Trinity Addison Smith fighting for her life. Anaya Allen, dead. Dead. Shot May 19th. Quite an anniversary celebration for George Floyd, huh? Quite a celebration. And by the way, which of these children, Bishop Jackson, were killed by police officers? Because we know that they're the problem. Which of these children was shot by police officers? Because we know that the cops are the problem. Strange, huh? None of them. None of them. All killed by thugs, shot by other black people that the police are out trying to stop from killing other black people. And the police are the ones who are treated like they're the monsters, they're the killers, they're the problem. And this stuff is preposterous, folks. It's just preposterous. So I'm interested to know what you think as the left tries to convince us that somehow we should be, oh boy, oh there we go, that somehow we should be, just had a blank screen on my tablet there, that somehow we should be commemorating George Floyd and celebrating George Floyd. Barack and Michelle Obama celebrate George Floyd, and they said, you know, they quoted his daughter saying, "My daddy changed the world." Well, what I just shared with you all, that's the change he wrought. A lot of dead bodies killed by other black people, not by police. That's the change he wrought. Wow. And this stuff is so topsy-turvy and so wicked. We are living in Isaiah 5 times. We're calling evil good and good evil, darkness light and light darkness, bitterness sweet and sweet bitter. And we're wise in our own eyes and prudent in our own sight, and people are dying for it. The mayor of St. Louis, the new mayor of St. Louis, has pledged to defund the police. Smart woman. Yeah, boy, What forward-looking leadership. Tashara Jones, she's going to defund the police. Good move. That's why, folks, I keep telling you, mark my words, we are going to see a backlash in this country that is unreal. Because you see, these folks are so crazy, they don't know they're crazy. You know what they say? If you really think you're crazy, you're probably okay. If you think what you're saying or doing is crazy, you're probably okay. Because you have the self-awareness to realize, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. But if you are doing stuff that's crazy and you think, oh, no, it's not me. Everybody else is crazy because they're not doing what I'm doing. So the left thinks what they're doing, this craziness, defund the police, dismantle the police. They think the rest of us are crazy. You say, wait a minute. What do we do about the criminals? I mean, what do we do about the innocent people who are being victimized? Well, I guess, you know, we'll send a social worker, I guess. 888-589-8840 is the number. You know what? I think we'll leave it at that. There are a couple of other things I could raise. I already mentioned Fauci. Oh, you know what? I got to raise this one. And then I want to come to your calls. Did you all know that apple pie is racist? Did you know that? Oh, yeah. Yeah. You didn't know that, did you? Yep. Big article in Guardian that says food justice needs to acknowledge that apple pie is racist. and that the first time it was introduced in 1910 in a play, American is Apple Pie, that was it was exposing the roots of apple pie's racist origins. And I was just thinking, as I read that stupid mess, wow, I love apple pie. Little did I know that consuming apple pie and ice cream was racist. Just a little levity added to all the heavy stuff that we've got going on. But also further proof that they're crazy, that they really are nuts. 888-589-8840. Let's get some of your calls in before we have to go to a break. Let's go to Mike in Texas. Mike, welcome.
Yes, sir. I am he's I. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Mike. I look forward to your calling me so you can say that and make me laugh, okay?
I love it. Hey, listen, just to touch on the CIA, the FBI, the DOJ, all of them, mm-hmm. we would never have any idea. I mean, you kind of thought, but you really never knew how corrupt these agencies were before Trump was in. And he really opened a lot of people's eyes that didn't know what was really going on. He exposed an awful lot.
You're right, Mike. You're right. Without Donald Trump, we would not have known how deep the deep state is in corruption and dishonesty. And yeah, I mean, you're right. We have a lot to be grateful for President Trump. I know there are a lot of people who hate him, but that's because he just didn't satisfy and placate their leftist shenanigans. And he just came in as a disruptor. So you're right, Mike. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Tom in Georgia. Tom, welcome.
Hi, how are you? I really appreciated your intro. I mean, it was spot on. One of the biggest things that really bothers me is this business of running the BLM flag up on the flagpole at our embassies around the world.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're going to put that flag up, you might as well run a Chinese flag up, a Russian flag up, and maybe even a swastika, you know, because it's all based on the same ideology. And it's really a sad state of affairs.
And these are the same people, Tom, who, if you were to fly a Confederate flag, they would go apoplectic. I mean, they'd lose their minds. This is the worst thing in the world that could happen. And mind you, I'm no supporter of the Confederate flag. But, I mean, you're going to get all worked up about the Confederate flag, which is an historical flag, at least. It's an historical flag. Whether you would agree with what some people think it represents or not is another matter. But these little things that these people have come up with that are racist and divisive, and you could argue the Confederate flag is too, which is why I say on our federal properties, one flag ought to fly. The American flag, period. Not the homosexual flag, not the Confederate flag, not the Black Lives Matter flag. You know, there used to be a thing they call the black flag. I'm not in favor of flying that either. We're Americans. We fly the American flag. That's the flag we stand for. That's the flag we respect. All that other stuff can be thrown in the junk. Back in a moment.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training. Here's another of our core values. We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values, and we thank you for your support.
80% of the time, an abortion-minded mother who views an ultrasound or sonogram of her baby will choose life. Here's the story of Candace.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
There are currently preborn centers which do not have an ultrasound machine. Would you sponsor a machine today? Dial pound 250 and say keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Your love can save a life.
There was a point a couple years in where Jake was tired, and he was tired of feeling hurt, and he was tired of surgeries. And we would get up in the night. That's when the pain would get worse.
Jody Bainter on Focus on the Family Minute.
And there was a point where I said, Jake, I don't know what else to do. I felt like I'd done everything a mom could do. And he said, can you make it morning? And the reason, it's so interesting, because in the morning, I would open the blinds and the sun would shine in. And he would just feel that glory. And I didn't know it at the time, but when I decided to name it Make It Morning, I'm like, of course, because God renews us all in the morning. I mean, that's the beauty.
He was tapping into that renewal.
He was tapping into it. And so it really stuck with me that night because I thought, well, geez, I can't make it morning, but I know somebody who can.
Hear more from Jody at familyminute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
All right, since we got into this flag business, now let me clarify something, because when the controversy erupted, of course, over the Confederate flag, my position was, look, people can fly any flag they want on their private property, on their cars. And by the way, I support their right to do so. And I feel the same way about this. Now, I like the American flag, and that's all I'm ever going to fly anywhere, okay? I mean, I might fly the Christian flag, or I might fly the state of Virginia flags in certain circumstances, that kind of thing. Those are the Christian flag, of course, represents Christianity, and I'm a Christian. And the Virginia flag, I'm a Virginian, so I respect the flag of Virginia, Sic Semper Tyrannis. And I believe, by the way, the same thing is true as far as I'm concerned for any flag people want to fly on their personal property. It doesn't mean I have to like it. I mean, I don't like the rainbow flag. But if you want to fly a rainbow flag on your car, on your property, I support your right to do so. And I mean that, because that's what freedom is all about. And if I start trying to control what you can do in your private life, the next thing you know, somebody's going to want to control what I want to do in my private life. And that's how freedom ultimately gets circumscribed. But for me, we need unity in our country, and there's only one flag that unifies us all, and that is the flag of the United States of America. I did make a distinction. I said the Confederate flag is at least has its historical significance. Now, I know some people will read that, and there'll be some Americans will say, he's a supporter of the Confederate flag. I just said I don't support it. But, however, here's what I also don't support. I've got friends who have Confederate flags, and they're not racist. They're not bad people. See, once again, folks, we get hung up on the thing as opposed to being hung up on the heart. It's the heart that matters. You may have somebody who sees the Confederate flag as some sort of symbol of racism, but that's not the flag's problem. That's that person's problem. I know it represents the division of our nation. I realize that. But here again, if you read American history, you also know that the people, and I can't speak for everybody, obviously, I wasn't there. And then there, you know, 600,000 people lost their lives. But many people who fought on the side of the South were not fighting for slavery. They were fighting out of loyalty to their state. Now, you can say they were wrong, and that's a perfectly good debate to have. But they weren't necessarily fighting because they hated black people, or they loved slavery, or they thought slavery was great. I have no doubt some did. But many people fought because they felt they could not betray their neighbors, they could not betray their state, and they were fighting for the principle that they had a right to manage their own affairs. And here again, you can say what you want to say about that, you can call it wrong, we can have that debate, but my point is, you shouldn't automatically look at the symbol and say, ah, that represents racism, and that person is a racist, okay? Unfortunately, I can't say the same thing about the Black Lives Matter flag, and I can't say the same thing about the rainbow flag, and I know there are people who will attack me on that and say, see, he supports the Confederate flag, but he doesn't support the LGBTQ flag, and I don't support any of them, okay? Let me clarify that again. I don't support any of them. I support the American flag. I'm simply trying to make a distinction to demonstrate that, you know, it's possible to think in broader terms than simply stereotyping people based upon a historical relic that has a whole lot of relevance to the history of this country, as opposed to the stuff that people are now concocting, which has the full intention of dividing the country on the basis of identity politics. Okay, I think I've said enough. I don't know whether I dug my hole deeper or I got myself out of that one, but anyway, there it is. So let's come back to the phones. Let's see, Jacob in Georgia. Jacob, you've been waiting very patiently. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, thank you, Bishop, for accepting the call. I got 2 points to make. You was dealing with the Confederate flag. Ignorance is as a whore. It'll go with anybody who will accept it. And I had a young white boy who I was friend with his daddy. His daddy was a member of the Confederate organization. Mm-hmm. But his dad was a member simply because he didn't want anyone telling him what he could do or what he could not do. And he flew the flag, but him and I was best of friends.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And his grandson, his name was Roy Lee Smith in Sumter County. His grandson invited me when he was getting his wings with the Cub Scouts, invited me to come have prayer at a Confederate cemetery. And, you know, it's not about, you know, and if we start right. looking at things from knowledge and wisdom and understanding, mm-hmm. then we will have less wars and less fights and
wow.
and segregation. And I'll stop that point to get on another one because I want to hold on to you, but I just wanted to pass that on.
That's good, Jacob.
See, the majority of the problems that we're having now is with this Black Lives Matter, this segregation and all of this stuff with black. It is the black churches, and they are not doing their job. The black bishops and black pastors and evangelists and all of these people are not doing the job that God assigned them to do. And therefore, they are supporting things that a lot of them are ignorant that they are supporting. The majority of blacks are Democrats. And to be a Democrat, it's irrelevant whether you say you don't support it, is to support abortion, support yep. homosexuality, to support same-sex marriage, to support the violence that's in the streets and the black-on-black murders. Daily, blacks are murdering each other all over the United States.
Wow, Jacob, listen, you that's a little mini sermon, and I appreciated it, too. And I was glad to hear that story because, look, that's the thing. We don't stereotype people on the basis of symbols. We look at people's hearts. And you're right. I mean, somebody sees a Confederate flag, oh, he's a racist. And it could be one of the nicest people you ever want to meet in your life. And somebody maybe whose family goes back to that history and they're trying to hold on to it and commemorate it. And so, look, folks, let's get on here because I could get back on that. But thank you so much, Jacob. Eloquently stated, thank you for everything that you said. You are absolutely right. And it's a sad fact that all these movements like Black Lives Matter look outward and blame someone else for problems that can only be solved within those communities, those families, among that group of people that's got to take responsibility for themselves and their condition and the behavior of some of the people that they are surrounded by. Let's go to CJ in Louisiana. CJ, welcome.
Well, how are you doing, Bishop? Bishop, thank you so much for taking my call.
Well, thank
you,
CJ.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. We serve an awesome God. But I want to say this. I am an American. An American black woman. I am washed in the blood of the Lamb, which means that there is no color in me.
Glory to God.
I am God's child, just like those who are my sisters and brothers in Christ. And Satan, Jesus said, the thief comes but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Satan tried to get Jesus to bow down to him. Mm-hmm. But there are so many people, and we're looking at it on television and all these different cities. They have bowed down to Satan and are worshiping him. And that, what he has offered them, all they have to look around themselves and see what they're getting. Because all they're getting is darkness, they're getting murder, they're getting hurt. And Jesus is standing and saying, come to me.
Amen. CJ, and you didn't get to it, but I thought you were going to mention all these children that are being murdered that are just being ignored. But thank you again. Look, we got a couple sermons going here, folks. Let's go to Rick in Virginia. Rick, welcome.
Hey, Bishop, how you doing?
I'm blessed, Rick. How are you doing?
Good to hear, Vince. Good to talk to you, man. You know, you spoke at Hampton Christian Academy?
Yes, I did. Yes.
You know, I live 5 minutes from there. One of the best private Christian schools there are, man. I wish I'd have known you was there. I would have came to hear you speak.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah, and I guess what I want to get to, you know, these global warmest people too. I want to hit on them real quick. They always ask, "Do you don't believe in global warming?" I said, "No, I don't, and you don't either. You just threw some trash on the ground." And you know, and then these people, they refuse to recycle. You know what I mean? Recycling helps, and they will not recycle for nothing. They throw a lot on the ground.
But yet they want to preach to you about climate change and the end of the planet.
Absolutely.
We're going to destroy the planet.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. There you go. And that's what they want. They want to preach to you about that. Well, I guess it's because it's a liberal agenda, so they want to preach that. And then, and all, and what you feel too, Bishop, about it seemed like the Democratic Party used the black Baptist churches to campaign in.
Oh, they do. They do. They do. And Rick, I'm running out of time, so I'm going to have to go. But look, and we're in a situation where the lie is what is often prevailing. These preachers, and doesn't matter what their race is, these preachers that are bowing down to the secular, atheist, Marxist, socialist lie, instead of boldly proclaiming the word of God in the face of all of that and going along with every vile thing. People like James Cone, the Marxist who came up, he kind of pioneered this critical race theory garbage. Instead of just standing up flat-footed on the word of God and proclaiming, for Christ I live, for Christ I die. Think of me what you want, say of me what you want, but I'm pleading the blood of the Lamb, as one of my earlier callers said. So that's where we are. But listen, we know the truth, and the truth is what makes people free. And we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.